Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Around the world. You know, you say that, says, speak those things as though they are. And when you say it and believe it, you will receive it. And we are literally connected to mothers and daughters around the world. When I started this program in 2009, I was saying that we were talking to mothers and daughters around the world. And, you know, the internet, you have that exposure to speak to mothers and daughters or individuals around the world. And it just amazes me to look at the analytics and see where people are actually listening from. I was looking at some analytics from Matriarch Nah this morning. I was doing some other stuff and had to click on something and just my spirit said, just click on analytics. And when I did that, and I saw people from around the world clicking on, visiting, I was like, wow, you don't even know that people are just finding your site and clicking on it and looking through it. It's amazing. Amazing. That's why God told me in 97, you would be talking to women around the world from your living room. Where am I sitting now? But in my living room. I couldn't understand it in 97. The internet was not what it is now. And I thought, my God, I couldn't even conceive what he was talking about. But now, it's just an household word. The internet, talking to people, sending an email. As my grandson said to me years ago when he was small, he said, how can you send someone an email and they get it that fast? And I looked at him and said, I don't even know. I'm not that technical. But I know I can send it to them and talk to the person and say, did you get it? Yeah, I got it. Boom. These things I do, and even greater things you will do. And sometimes I don't think people understand what that means. These things I do, but even greater things that you do. Because he knew what the world connections were going to be. He knew the power of the internet and other means of connections to connect us around the world at a blink of an eye. So good morning, mothers and daughters. Thank you for joining us. No matter what time it is, where you are, that you're joining us, there's no distance in the spirit. And we welcome you, and we hope that you're blessed today from our message. Let me go in and get our host. One second. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you? How are you, audience? Glad to be back.
Good. Good to have you back. Good morning,
thank
Deborah.
You, thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone.
How are you
this
morning?
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. I am well. And you, ladies?
I'm doing fine. I am so lit. I am doing great, doing great. So, yeah, we'll start with Cynthia. Cynthia, I know your week was your last 2 weeks. But just for the audience sake, how was your last week?
It was trying. I had my moments. For the audience who don't know, I lost my nephew in a head-on collision 2 weeks ago. And just doing some family care, just staying there with his mother, because his mother not only lost her son, her youngest son this time, she lost her oldest son 7 years ago, and those were her only two children. And so you can only imagine, or can't imagine, because I still can't imagine it. I didn't want to abandon her right after the funeral. I just wanted to stay there and love on her, to just be there for her, because, you know, when it's all happening and right after it happening, you got everybody around you and everybody's coming and going. But when the day of the funeral, it ceased. Thank God it did not happen that way for her. She still had people coming over pretty much every day until to the day I left. But I thank God that I was there, because she was having her moments, and we had a chance to just, you know, she was fasting and praying, and so was I. And so we just had some sister time and just some daughter-to-daughter time. There's no words. Oftentimes I was speechless, because what do you say? Other than, you know, just trying to give her the wisest counsel that I can with regards to her relationship with Christ, telling her at some point you're just going to have to let your heart break and go to the Father and talk to him about it, because he knows all things, and all things happen, and if he allows it, and then, you know, we just have to find a way to go on without our loved ones. And I can't even imagine, but it was trying. It was a lot of girly time. It was a lot of daughter to daughter, sister to sister, mother to mother. So it was good stuff, though, because it was family stuff. I got to meet a lot of my cousins that I have not met or seen in over. I'm 61. I haven't seen these people in over 40, 50 years. So it was good. It was good stuff, despite the tragedy of it all. Thank you for letting me share that. All is well. I spoke to my cousin. I got home last night, and so it was good to be back home in my own bed. So that is good stuff. I spoke to her last night. She's in Atlanta today, watching her nephew play a game. And so all is well. All is well. Thanks for letting me share.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Well, our prayers still go out to Darlene and her family. And like I told her, I said, you know, I don't even know what to say, except that we just got to trust God. I mean, that's the bottom line. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you can do past that.
That's going to make a difference. You're absolutely right, Dr. Fletcher. But she was in great spirits when I left her yesterday, and all is well. She did call her therapist, and she's going to be going to therapy on this. And so I told her to connect to MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And we'll see at the progress if she follows through and do what she needs to do to have that conversation with the Father and get the help that she needs. because she obviously is going to have need a lot of help to get through this.
Well, the one thing about it, she's a Christian, so she already connected to God. She's going to be just fine. She's going to
Amen.
Be just fine.
Matter of fact, she just texted me. Let's see what she said.
Okay.
She says she's good, and she's in Atlanta for the game. So she's moving forward.
Oh, yeah. She's going to make it. She got God. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Okay. How was your week?
Before I tell you about my week, I just want to say again, my condolences to Cynthia for her nephew, and we're going to continue to pray and ask God to continue to strengthen her and comfort her through her times of bereavement and challenging days ahead. So we trust God to work his magic, his process to be however he processes. And so we just thank God for that. So
I had
a really quiet week, and it was so quiet, it was scary. I'm saying, where is everybody? I'm like in the building, like the first of the month, they kind of get scared. They got a couple dollars, you know what I mean? So they out to eat or wherever they at. But it was like, okay, now this is the seventh. Like they usually be winning back in. It was pretty. I really enjoyed it. It was just wasn't as intense as it can be for the ones that don't know, listening audience. I work with the homeless population, people coming off the streets with mental health, dual diagnosed, substance abuse, and some other disorders. And they're coming into housing, and most of them, 90% of them, are probably off meds, were not taking it as they should. So we have a lot of different challenges, and we're known, where it's known to be the hardest population to work with. So I just want to let you know. So this week, I had one of the best weeks in probably many years. Like I said, for whatever reason, they wasn't really in. And, you know, they still have stuff going on. But this week, they was wherever they was with their stuff going on. So other than that, you know, just looking forward to, I have a meeting after this morning. With Florida Restoration Rights, looking forward to that. You know, we meet once a month, and that's for the people that, you know, have the right to vote or receive the right to vote in the state of Florida. So we go and we meet with judges and we meet with local legislators and Congress members, and we let them know that, hey, we got a right to vote now. We got a voice. So be careful how you handle us. Because we can put you in and take you out. We don't say it like that, but you get what I'm saying. So I'm looking forward to that meeting. And your week, how was your week, Dr. B?
Okay, Deborah, let me finish with Deborah first, please. Deborah, I was a little worried about you because I saw you Thursday night. You looked like you was drained, like you were just holding
Thursday
on.
Night.
So
oh,
I was
Thursday
a little
night.
Yeah, I was a little worried about you. I said, well, you know, is you all right? But you came through. But I'm glad everything was good. You had a good week. I did call you, but I don't think you got the message because I was coming to check on you to see if you were okay. I'm glad you had a good week. I'm glad you had a good week. Some weeks,
yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just like that. Maybe things are making a shift in the change. The environment around the the office, you know what I mean? You're praying for people to be blessed and to grow, and the clientele that you all deal with, you know, you just never know one minute to the next what's going to jump off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it was kind of scary. You're like, okay, what's going on? This is not the norm. But let's just pray and hope that it's a shift in the spirit and it's going to continue to grow, you know. That the Holy Spirit and angels around them, that it's helping them to come up to another level.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, my week last week was probably one of the busiest weeks I've had in a while. But it was a good week. Busy good. I stayed focused, had a major something that came up with the family that I needed to take care of. That took care of the biggest portion of my day, for like 3 days of the weekend. Really, every day of the week, really, to be honest with you. I was working on it. But I would stay up and do what I needed to do for the organization and get it done. So I worked long, hard hours until I think it was today, Saturday. I can't get my days right. Yesterday's Friday. Until Thursday. And so I had to go out on Thursday. And I told my daughter, she said, I said, what you doing? She said, I'm off. I'm not going to work anymore this afternoon. I said, why don't you come by? So we parked her car, took my car. It was such a beautiful day. It was 70 degrees. The sun wasn't hot. It was just perfect. The wind, everything was just like you just want to bottle that day. We took the top down and we just rode and had so much fun. She was driving and we was mothering, daughtering, just cruising in the sunset. I mean, the sun was shining on us. It was, I could not, I just like, God, thank you. It was like a special gift that he was giving us on that day, because she was coming through something and I was coming through with something, and we're both all tied up all week. And it was just like we laughed like little kids and had the best fun as we just rode around and look at stuff. Like I told them on Thursday night, I said, we went to a place, almost bought a boat. I said, Lord, you know. So, you know, we ended up in a good place from all the stuff that happened during the week. And I would say to the audience out there, if you have not been to matriarchnow.com, that's matriarchnow.com, please go. Go and visit. I am the most pleased with it right now, ever been since I started this process. I looked at the piece that Charlie put on last night for the members, and we got that piece tagged on there. We got another piece we're going to tag on this weekend. So we're going to do a major marketing campaign this week, over 14,000 names. And I just say, I mean, I was so pleased last night. I texted Charlie about 10-something and said, wow, you are the best. I am pleased. I have struggled with this community for almost a year and a half. And last night, I just felt the joy of the Lord, and I said, Lord, it's what you gave me. It's turned to what you have given me. And that membership piece added on there, sort of just, I cannot say enough about Charlie. I cannot. I know he was the ram in the bush. And now if I don't do anything else, it is where God, the way God had envisioned me in my head, how it should look. And I am the most pleased right now. So it ends up to be a good week. I'm not going to be doing the phones. I told you guys Thursday night that I'm going to be spending my Sabbath with the Lord. And so I won't be doing the phones and all the internet and all this kind of stuff. I won't be doing all that for my pleasure. So just as I did last week, but either one of you all, if you're going to be on today on the call, Charlie's going to be on the conference call at 3:00. I need one of you all to kind of spearhead it. If you're going to be on, if not, I'll text the group and tell them to spearhead it. He's going to go over the group's instructions with everybody to see where the hiccups are and see if he can help you walk through them. I will not be on there. So just giving y'all a heads up, just in case if you are, I text everybody the conference call number in the text group. And I will, before I shut down completely, text that again. And anybody that want to get on, it'll be open at 3:00 that you can go on and talk to Charlie about your group. If not, I'm going to try to see if Joy can record it, because this is one of the conference calls that numbers that Joy has, that you don't have to do number, just dial the number. You don't have to have a code or anything. So that's just information for you and Cynthia, Deborah. And I know you said you got to meet Deborah, so you may not be, Cynthia. If you're on there, then that's fine. If not, I'm going to text it into the group.
I'll be on there.
It's been a very prosperous week, good week, where I've been connected to so many people. So many people are calling us now about what we're doing. So, real and truly, I can't say nothing but thank God. Thank God. So that's my week. We are here where we are now. We're on with mothers and daughters around the world. Mothers and daughters, my advice is do not quit. Do not quit. Whatever God asks you to do, do not quit. Deborah, would you give us a prayer this morning before I go into what the Lord has placed on my heart?
Yes, thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you just to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be in this moment, to be in our right mind, have our able limbs, and to know left from right, right from wrong, to know that there's things that you are asking us to do. We ask that you would continue to speak with us. Give us what we need. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to say to Samantha, our magazine designer, I blessed her today. I blessed her that her wedding is beautiful and that all is well, and that she's the beautifulest bride, and that Joy just fill her soul, peace, fill her soul today as she joined a union of marriage this day. Samantha, our web designer.
And I just wanted to say thank you all, Mothers and Daughter Global Movement family members who just put out their prayers for me and my family. I want to just publicly thank you guys, the board members. Thank you guys 100% above and beyond, because prayers at work, and they helped me get through it because I had my moments as well. So I just want to thank y'all for y'all prayers publicly. I appreciate every prayer that went up for us. Thank you.
Amen. All right, ladies, I'll come back and pick you up in a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Lord, we just want to thank you. I tell you, mothers and daughters, you know, when you are asked to do something, when God gives you an assignment, you think, if God asks me to do it, it's got to be easy. It's going to be a piece of cake, because God is on my side. He said he won't let nothing happen to me. He'll protect me from the evil one. You know, it's me and God, and we are doing this thing, you know, because God is on my side. Of course he is, and he will never leave me, and of course he won't. But he said there'll be trials and tribulations. That's the thing. There will be trials and tribulations. And do not faint. Don't fear. Don't fear. Do not, I'll be with you. I know the beginning and I know the end. And the end is you have the victory. So whatever you're going through in the middle really doesn't matter. It's trial and tribulation. It's the test of your faith, just to see if you're going to believe God. Is it easy? No, it is not. Because the human side of you, body, wants to do something crazy. The conscious mind trying to tell the body to do something crazy. The subconscious mind sitting on the side listening like, okay, now y'all make your mind up because whatever you decide, you know I'm going to record it, right? So I don't have a choice. Everything you say and do, I got to record it. But whatever you make a decision on, that's what I'm going to regurgitate back up to you at its given time. So you make up your mind what you're going to make the decision on. As the unconscious mind moves slowly and doing what it does, monitoring the body, shutting it down when it needs to, moving you around and doing things that you're really unaware of. Because the conscious mind keeps you so busy, you don't realize how important the unconscious mind that walks you over to the bathroom and tell you what, and washing your hands, you're just automatically doing. The unconscious mind is the automatic switch. It's set, and it automatically does what it is set to do. So you can't quit. You're in the middle. And like I said, I'm too far gone. Turn around. So I got to keep going. I got to keep swimming till I get to the other side. There's no quit, no quitting for me. I refuse to. That's a decision I will not make. I can promise you that. So today, our topic is mothers and daughters. You have a friend in Jesus. You know, I was talking to a very dear friend of mine yesterday, last night. We talked about 2 hours, I'm sure. And we talk often back and forth, in between her going from one bank to the other. You know, she's actually operations manager for a major bank. And from that, we talk in between time fixing dinner for her husband until he gets home and things like that. But she was free and everybody was gone and she was sitting out on the porch and she called me and we were talking. We talked and went back and forth. We've been friends now over 40 some years. And we were talking about the value of friendship. The value of friendship. She and I became friends when she's younger than me. But she was a 16-year-old girl. I wasn't that old at the time. She was 16. I was probably about 24, 25. And that's a lot when you're talking about a 16-year-old girl. But I was at the bank, and she come and make deposits. And we became friends. We hang out at the theater, always going over there at lunchtime, watching a movie, all kind of crazy stuff we did. And the manager and all of us was good friends. We hung out on the weekends together. And she asked me to hire her for a position at the bank. She wanted to become a teller. And when she graduated, she came over for that application. She started working with us. And she worked with me. And I insisted that she go to school. She didn't want to go to college because she figured she was smart. Sort of like me, had the same attitude. I said, but you know, you need to go to college. I said, where there are stumbling blocks for me. I'm having to fight for every position as an Afro-American female. I said, you're a blonde, white female. You get your education, and you watch where you go. And she was telling me last night, she said, I cannot thank you enough. If it wasn't for you, I would not be in the position I am now. She's operation manager over all the banks. I said, I told you. I knew she was smart as a whip, but without that college degree, it wasn't going to take her where she needed to go. So then she started going to High Point at night too and graduated. But we've had this friendship from the time she was 16. Now, and I think she's 59 now. And it has never altered. We have never felt out. We have never, it has just been, I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. And we were talking about the value of friendship. And she was talking about a couple of friends of hers that they were inviting to come to vacation with them. And her son said, well, you know, we can't plan anything around them because sometimes they'll do it and sometimes they won't. And she said, she told her son, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. It only matters what I do. And if I say something to someone, I'm going to stick to that word. Whether they come or not, they may change their minds, but I will not change mine. I told them what we were going to do, and that's what we're going to do. Regardless of how many times they have disappointed us, and I have been disappointed. I planned it. I said we're going to do it. We're not going to change it. And we just kind of went over that last night, and I think that's why the Holy Spirit put it in my heart, because I always tell people, friendship to me means a lot. I've dropped friends 60 years because I don't tolerate, I've left the husband. Mm-mm. Come between me, you, and Lord, I'm choosing the Lord. I don't have time to think about it. So when the Lord brought this up to me this morning saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our friend, and he's not going to tolerate a lot. We're not going to get to just play with him back and forth, go to him when we think we need something, but when everything is okay, then we're not talking about Jesus. We put him on the sideline, one of those lukewarm friendships. When you got something I need, then I'm your friend. You don't have nothing I need, I'm not your friend. Or this person is my friend more than this person is my friend, but I'm your friend when me and you together. You know, you all know what I'm talking about. You know the scenarios that people go through with friendship. To me, it's like the Bible says, a friend is closer than a brother. You have brothers and sisters that you may not be close to, but you may have a friend that you airtight. Airtight. I have a friend, and my friend that I was talking about a few minutes ago, her name is Robin. But I have a friend, Paul, and this is just giving a female male perspective. Paul came and said God sent him, and he was supposed to document whatever it is that I'm doing for the ministry. Paul and I became so close that most people thought we were had some kind of relationship, or we was husband and wife, and sometimes we would go back and forth, back and forth. And so Paul and I had to come to the agreement. I'm like, okay, God sent you, but I'm not going to go back and forth with you because Paul is controversial. And so now I guess in his older age, you know, I'm mellowed out some. I'm like, look, I'm not going to do this dance with you. But Paul is my friend. And we've been friends for what? The ministry for years. Why am I saying all of this? Because if Jesus put us together, then we're supposed to be in that space for a reason that the Father put us together to do. The enemy will come in and try to do his trickery to break up what God has put together for his own purpose. You got to keep in mind, who really is your friend? Who is your friend? How many people are you hanging with? You know in your heart they're not your friend. I've had people that supposedly be friendly, but in your heart you know they are not your friends. You just put up with them for whatever reason. It's like, I'll just let it go by. Okay, I'll just let that go by. Oh, well, I'll just let that go by. But your friend is Jesus. You have a friend in Jesus that will not change. He will not deviate. He will not. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can depend on Jesus. He's going to do exactly what he told you he's going to do. And what he told you he's going to do came exactly from the Father, because he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do and what he tells me to say. So you know if Jesus told you something, all you got to do is say, that came straight from the Father, because that's what he said. And what propels that friendship is the Holy Spirit. The Father says the word, Jesus delivered the word, and the Holy Spirit delivered the physical. He manifests the physical of the word. So you got three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got a breaded friendship. It's like plaiting hair. You got three strands. And they weave in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And when you get to the end and you knot it, they're not coming apart. If you squeeze them tight enough, that hair will lock before it will come apart. And that's the kind of friendship you're looking for. You're looking for the friendship that will lock before it comes apart. But don't put your friendship in man. Man will deceive you. They one way today and the next day they're another way, and you just never know which way they're going to be, because the human body goes through different transitions. People are working through issues in their own mind, issues that they're dealing with from within. And sometimes you get the brunt of what they're feeling from within. And it has nothing to do with you. It's their stuff. It's their stuff in their heads that they're dealing with other people, with situations, poor old pitiful me. They're having a pity party. You know, they're not leaning on Jesus. They're not leaning on Jesus. They're not asking for peace, because peace will take you and cuddle you and love on you. And it's so gentle and it's so kind and so loving that you'll be forgiving, because when you have the peace of Christ, your friend, all the things around you doesn't really matter. Sometimes I think, Bessie, there's got to be something wrong with you. I mean, things are going around, and yes, I see it. But nothing disturbs my peace. Nothing disturbs my peace, not my inner peace. Even when the enemy tried to poke at me and try to get somebody to say, get me to say things, my inner peace is still there. I have to retract back to that, because that's my safe place. That's where Jesus is. And that's my friend. He comforts me. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, why would you allow that? Why? Why would you allow that? How many times during the years of my life that the Holy Spirit have said to me, why? And I had to stop and think. One friend, he says, do you know what they're doing? I'm like, well, Lord, I never thought about it. And I really didn't. I saw it over the years, but I didn't really think about it, because we're just friends hanging out. And he said, if you remain friends, then you're just as guilty as they are. See, we are held accountable. You're just as guilty as they are. And you're a hypocrite. And God doesn't like hypocrites. You either a child of God or you're not. And stop the crazy. Stop playing with Jesus. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts about people. Stop playing with Jesus. You're playing with somebody who sees and knows and everything, even how you feel, every hair on your head. Someone who designed you. You don't even know you. Jesus is your friend. So stop being a hypocrite to your friend. That's why we get in so much trouble. That's how we get in so much trouble. Because the enemy will talk crazy into your head, and he'll do it through your intro conversations until it comes out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, he jumps up and all the demons jump up and laugh, do a break dance, fall on the floor. We got her. Because in your head, something hits the Holy Spirit. Do not say that. But you keep listening to those conversations until it come out of your mouth. And you know as soon as it come out of your mouth, it's like a bullet shot. It goes exactly where you intended it to go. Don't start saying, I didn't mean to say it, this, that, and the other. No, you meant to say it because it was in your mind. It was in your conversation, your intro conversation. And the devil's laughing at you. You can't take it back. It's gone. And then you feel bad. You're like a dog with his tail between his legs. You waggle off and you feel bad. And you're thinking about it later. Maybe I shouldn't have done it that way. If I just had waited and thought about it, you know, I could have handled it a different way. But you can't take it back. That's why we must go to the Holy Spirit as often as every second of a day almost in every decision. What should I do, Holy Spirit? How should I handle this? That's all I want to do. The older you get, you've got to have Jesus in front of you. He's got to be your shield, your buckle. He's got to be the one that you walk closely behind. When one foot goes up, your foot go down. The other foot go up, your foot go down. That's how close you need to be. He's your friend. And he said a friend is closer to you than a brother. He's not talking about a human friend. He's talking about spirit. It's closer to you than a brother. The Holy Spirit is in you. There's no brother, no sister can get in you. Inside your body, another human cannot get inside of your body. But the Spirit of God, the living God, will live alive inside of you. If you wake it up, it's in there. Wake it up. Jesus, I need you to be my friend. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for creating Jesus, and thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got a friend that you can depend on. My mother told me when I was little, if ever you find yourself in a position that you don't know what to do, you just call on the name of Jesus and don't cease. You just keep calling on the name of Jesus, and he's going to come and see about you. I mean, from a little girl, she used to tell me that. And it stayed in my mind. That's why, mothers, we have to plant seeds in the word of God. The seed is the word of God in our children. Raise your daughter up with the word of God in her heart. She will never stray from him. Because when the challenges come, she's going to remember what you said. I remember, I look back and sometimes I look at the picture of my mother in here and I thank her for being such a wonderful mother. Perfect mother, no. But my mother was a good woman. She was always conscious of other people, always giving, always helping someone else. Our house was the house that everybody came to hang out because she loved to cook. That's why I love to cook. She loved to cook. And she just purposely cooked more food than she knew we're going to eat, just me and her and daddy. Have all them pots of food because she knew people were going to come by. Pearl, what did you cook today? Did you bake any cakes? Yeah, got some cake in there. Yeast rolls, yeah, you know. And they come by like they're at a restaurant, eat. Sometimes didn't even stay. Eat, get up. Okay, Pearl, see you later. It was just her enjoyment. That's what she gave to people. That's what she gave to people. And I was raised in that environment. Always treat people, one of her other things is always treat people like you want to be treated. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to get it right. So those pearls of wisdom will last in the hearts of your daughters. And we all get them at one point or the other. And sometimes it might not be good pearls of wisdom. It could be pearls of wisdom that wasn't so good, but it was wisdom that protected you because you said, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it differently because I'm going to call on my friend. I'm going to call on my friend Jesus, and he's going to help me. He's going to help me get through it. All right, Cynthia, what's your take on that?
My take on it is pretty to the point and pretty simple. When I think about it, I go to John 14. Friendships with Jesus is still conditional. You are my friend, he says, if you do what I command you. But in John 15:15, that condition seems to be removed because Jesus says, I do not call you servant any longer, but I called you friends. What account for the change? And what I found in my research, it says Jesus gave everything to his friends. His knowledge of God, and his own life. Jesus is our model for friendship because he loved without limits, and he makes it possible for us to live a life of friendship because we have been transformed by everything he shared with us. I often say that Jesus is the perfect example of humanity. Jesus teaches us, and he taught his 12. He only lost one of all the out of the 12. The only one that fell away was Judas. But Jesus taught something very important about friendship. Even if you wronged me, he was quick to forgive. Think about Peter. Peter denied him 3 times, yet he allowed him to come back to him, and he loved on him even more. I have that vision. I've seen people do reenactment of that and how Jesus just give him the greatest big hug. Oh, Peter, yeah, I still love you. You are my friend. You're no longer a servant. You are my friend. And so I love Jesus because he is the epitome. He was the epitome of humanity, yet he was God at the same time, never holding grudges and always forgiving the sins and the disagreements, because that's what they are, disagreements. When you go against what you said to believe in and you go the opposite direction like Peter did that morning, He denied him three times before that morning, actually. Within one day, Peter denied him three times. But Jesus didn't let that stop him from receiving him back. He was the epitome of friendship. He was the epitome of love. Because scripture tells us, before the world passed away, God's word will never pass. All that other stuff and everything that we go through and all of the unforgiveness, all of that stuff will pass away. But when we can do it the way Jesus did it, that says something for all of us. Ye are my friends, verse 14, John 14, if you do whatever I command you to do. Jesus tells us that. But in 15, he comes right back and said, you're not my servant. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So Jesus not only shared his life and himself, he shared his knowledge, and his friends learned from whatever mistakes or issues that they made. They learned from it because Jesus was right there to just give them a hand up always. And 16 says this, and I'm done. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, ye shall give it unto you. So what am I saying here? We are to do it like Jesus. We are to love like Jesus. We are to be friends like Jesus. Quick to forgive, quick to love, and know that when we are able to do this as friends, we are being an example of Christ by the fruit that we bear. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right. It's a good word. All right, Deborah. Let's see. Oh, I've got to click you on here, Deborah.
Cynthia stole all my notes like she was on this computer. I tell you, I say, Lord, well, we are like right there together. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to do my little piece here and expound off verse 14, John 15. You are my friend if you do whatever whatsoever I command you. And he commands us over in Galatians to have the evidence of his spirit. He said, I'm your friend if you do what I tell you to do. I need you to show love to the peoples. I need you to have joy and peace and patience. Be kind. Not me. Not they made me act like that. Not they made me give them a piece of my mind. He said, be kind and gentle. And have self-control over that tongue, over those actions. He said, you're my friend if you do what I tell you to do. And I'm telling you to be fruitful. I'm telling you to imitate me. So some people might not go to the church. Some people might not read the Bible. But you're supposed to be a walking epistle. You're supposed to be like Christ. You carry my name. I stamp your heart. And I need you to walk it out. My friend. I need you to be like me. You know, in everyday life, we have friends that we have a lot in common with. We have friends that we only have a little bit in common. But God is saying, I know that you lived for the world for a long time. He said, but I'm going to put it in your heart if you just surrender and keep repenting and keeping it open so I can flow through you, so I can flow through you. He said, because the blessing ain't about coming to you or stopping, by you getting saved and you being holy to God. I need you to demonstrate that in your everyday walk. Love the people. Goodness. Be faithful. Faithfulness. If you my friend, you'll do what I say. That's what he say. If you my friend. That word if carries a lot of weight to be a two-letter word. He said, if you are my friend to do whatsoever, not some stuff, not what I feel like doing, Deborah, not when I feel like doing it, Deborah, not when I want to be bothered. It's times that I need you to come out of that comfort zone. If you, my friend, do what I say. Greater love has no man than this, that I lay down my life. I lay my life down for you. I'm not asking you to go to the cross. I'm not asking you to get up there and be pierced. I'm not asking you to even tote the cross. I'm asking you to die daily to yourself, to your desires, to your way. You don't want to be bothered, be bothered. You don't want to love, love. You don't want to forgive, forgive. I'm asking you. I'm asking you if you're my friend. I'm commanding you, rather. I mean, I'm telling you. I ain't even asking. I command. You don't get to say not today, God. If you are my friend, ye are my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you to do, that's how I know you my friend, Deborah. Because I ask you to forgive. I ask you not to be holding that stuff. And if you can't do it on your own, that's what I'm here for. I'll be friend. I got your back. Your front, your side, your middle, your head, your toe, all in between. I got you. I got you. I know it's impossible sometimes. I know I got some people down there on earth that's hard to get along with. I know that. And long-suffering is the longest word in the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5 and 22-23, what I'm talking about. It's the longest word. And for me, it's the hardest word. Because sometimes I told you the population I work with, it'd be hard to be suffering long. And I'm saying, Lord, give me patience while I'm suffering long. He said, I suffer with you. Don't get it twisted. I suffer with you. And I'm asking you to learn how to demonstrate that same thing. If you're my friend, you do what I actually do. Amen. If you're my friend, I'm done.
Amen. That's the key right there. If you are my friend. He gave the prerequisite. All he's asking you to do is what the Father told us to do. And we know that. And we do just the opposite. And I say we because we are all guilty. None of us are perfect. All of us fall short of the glory of Christ. So, when we can just all say, because we all one. If one person is out there acting a fool, it's a possibility you can do the same thing. So you can't look at somebody and say, oh, look at them, this, that, and the other, because the capabilities are you can do the same thing. So, yes, there are the rules and there are the regulations, and you must follow those in order to be his friend. Jesus is not going to be a friend with you as a hypocrite. And a lot of people think they're friends with Jesus, but they're not. That's the notice. You're not. It's simple. Write it down. These are the commandments. And the one that he says more than anything else is to love one ye one another and to help one another, to pray for each other. Simple things. When you think of me, remember this. You know, communion. When you think of me, well, a lot of people are not thinking about it because they don't do communion. But I'm like, if you can hang on the cross and go through what you've done for me and suffer the way you suffer for me, and you just asking me to do communion, come on now. That ain't even painful. Simple. He's just saying, just remember me. Thank you, ladies. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Thank you.
All right, ladies, what a show. That went by real fast.
Yes,
amen.
It was powerful. It was powerful. You ladies have a great rest of your week, and God bless you. And we're still holding up all the families that lost family members and their homes in South Florida. We ask God to just give them peace and give them a special blessing, and the Holy Spirit move in the recovery real quick and getting them back into their life and peace in their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, ladies.
Amen.
God bless you.
Love y'all. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.